Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 41. Prapya punya kritam lokan.
Prapya punya kritam lokan.
Ushitva shasvati samaha.
Ushitva shasvati samaha.
Suchinam jimatam gehe.
Yoga prashto vijayate.
Prapya. After achieving. Punya kritam. Of those who perform pious activities. Lokan. Planets. Ushitva. After dwelling. Shasvati, many, sama, years, suchinam, of the pious, shrimatam, of the prosperous, gehe, in the house, yoga brashta, one who has fallen from the path of self-realization. Abhijayate takes his birth. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. Purport. The unsuccessful yogi is divided into two classes. One has fallen after very little progress, and one has fallen after a long practice of yoga. The yogi who falls after a short period of practice goes to the higher planets, where pious living entities are allowed to enter. After prolonged life there, one is sent back again to this planet, take birth in a family of a righteous Brahmana, Vaishnava, or an aristocratic merchants. The real purpose of yoga practice is to achieve the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, as explained in the last verse of this chapter. For those who do not persevere to such an extent and who fall because of material allurements are allowed, or fail because of material allurements, are allowed by the grace of the Lord to make full utilization of their material propensities. And after that, they are given opportunities to live prosperous lives in righteous or aristocratic families. Those who are born in such families may take advantage of the facilities and try to elevate themselves to full Krishna consciousness. Prapya punya kritam lokam mushisva shasviti musama suchi namashimitam gehe yoga prashto vijayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, at the end of chapters, especially in the later cantos, there's always an allurement. If you study this chapter, then you'll go to the high planets, you'll conquer all your enemies, you'll live for a million and a half years, you'll become richer than Kuvera, and you just have to read this chapter once. So naturally one will think, well, this is a pretty good deal. Spend a couple of hours reading the chapter and then check my bank account. See if I have a one-way ticket to Indraloka. No return. In other words, not everyone is going to take to the process of yoga with the same motivation. As a matter of fact, Krishna has already outlined four major motivations, and most people who take to spiritual life have those motivations. namely Chatura Vida Bhajante Mam Janasukritina Arjuna Artha Jignasya Artharati Gyani Chabaratar Shiva. There are four kinds of pious people who approach me, those who are in distress, they're known as the Artha Artis. Or artists. The artists are in distress. And the Artha Artis are those who want material enjoyment, better material existence. And the Jignasyas are the curious, and the Gyanis are the Brahmins, or the learned persons who know that they're Brahman. Learned means to know we're eternal, to know it theoretically, to try to understand it theoretically is a Jignasu. To hear about it in Bhagavad Gita and not take it very seriously, but believe that by Krishna consciousness one will become free from distress, they're called Shudras. Those who are interested, who hear the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, get free from some distress and then worry, and then wonder if they can actually have a better life by following the instructions. Attracted by the allurements of what's promised. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna here is promising that just take up devotional service or yoga or something, and if you don't get the major prize, you don't want to stick it out to become a finalist, then the consolation prize is that you go to the heavenly planets and you live there for some are millions of years and have a good time, take a vacation. So people think, yeah, why not? I always wanted to see what Indraloka was like. This is called heaven. In most religions, it's called heaven. People are willing to give it a few donations, you know, the plate comes around, they put something on it. And they're only wondering is, you know, how much does it really cost to get to Indraloka? What is the price of the ticket? And even they go through a whole process of dedicating their lives more or less to the process of religious life. Then the result is that they're expecting some kind of pious result. They're not really expecting to go back to the spiritual world because you can't. And I wonder what they think of what heaven is like even. In the Bible, is there any description of heaven? No. In the Quran, is there a description of heaven? So how can you really be too inspired? So most people are, they follow religious principles because they're trying to get free from suffering. And sometimes by good of association, they're inspired to dedicate a little bit more to their activities, because they need, everyone has to have something to do. Everyone has to live for some higher purpose. And if the higher purpose is that they can get some material reward at the end, they're willing to dedicate some time to it. They think the more I put in, the bigger my material reward will be. As a matter of fact, most of the, anyone who has any opulence in this material world is because they put time into religious principles. Now we can ask, there are many persons who are very powerful. How did they get their power? Well, they got it through following religious principles. Some kind of religious principles. Whether it's austerity, or whether it's sacrifice, or it's charity. You have to do some kind of religious principles in order to get elevated in the material world. Even Ravana and the Hiranyakashipu, they didn't simply go to school or practice karate or something. We don't find at any time Hiranyakashipu was practicing the martial arts to defeat the demigods. He knew that the process of becoming powerful in the material world is through austerity. And even if you want to become a great martial artist, you have to practice austerity. You're just going to go out and beat on a bag and expect to become powerful. You have to learn, you have to be able to concentrate your mind. And that's only possible through austerity and practice. The same thing Krishna says, suitable practice and by detachment. So by the yoga practice, one can do that, one can practice, or by religious practices nowadays, and then one may go to the heavenly planets. And that will instill in one some faith, at least on the subtle level. So hopefully when one comes back, he doesn't come back at the end of Kali Yuga, first of all. If you went to the heavenly planets and you lived there too long, and you suddenly came back, and you wound up, you came back at the end of Kali Yuga, it would be a very difficult situation. There would be no more prasadam. The lockdown would be permanent. And there won't be any, there wouldn't be anything to eat. You go to a mango grove, and the mango, you pick a mango, and it's all skin and pit. There's no juice. In fact, there are no fruits. There are no flowers. It would be very unfortunate. You had a good time for a while. He went on vacation. But then when he came back, he found that you were fired. You were laid off permanently till the end of the yuga. And that may be, you come back right at the end of the 10,000 years, then you have 417,000 years left to be chased by little people trying to eat you. Therefore, it's not a good idea to go to heavenly planets. There's a description when they fall down from the heavenly planets, on the way down, the Rakshashas eat your demigod body on the way down. And it's so painful you start crying, and the soul goes into the tears of the demigod who's crying, fall to the earth, and that's how they become, they enter into the grains, tears of the rain. And then from there you take another birth. The rain, the grains, the soul enters into the grain. The grain is eaten by a man. The man impregnates a woman. You take birth again. But it's a very painful experience. And then you have to start it all over again. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. And if you come back too far into Kali Yuga, you can't even figure it out. 1 + 1, I know it. I heard it somewhere. 5, no, you're asking. 4, close. Therefore, although Krishna is saying that one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil, but it's not good to do too little good so that you wind up, you get some fruit for sense gratification, and then when you try to enjoy it, you wind up yourself in a worse position. It's like we find these people who take birth in aristocratic families, mercantile or whatever, even religious families. If their goal was sense gratification, then by bad association, they may wind up in a much worse position in their next lifetime. Because if they get a lot of material opulence and they misuse it, then you get a lot more sinful reactions. So you go up to the heavenly planets, you come down here again, and you're born into an aristocratic family, and you go deeper into hell than you would have if just an ordinary person. So here on this planet, we find people relatively quite opulent, and they're usually misusing their opulence. Because when you get material opulence, it's very difficult to utilize it for devotional service, because your motivation in the beginning to go to the heavenly planets with sense gratification, you enjoy there and you had a good time, and you come back here, you're still in the enjoying mood. But here, when you're in an enjoying mood, you get all the karma for your trying to enjoy. And that karma from trying to enjoy sends you to the darkest regions of hell. And you suffer there like anything. Come back here again, after millions of years in the lower species of life, and you finally decide, I'm going to do pious activities, and then you do pious activities, you go back to heaven, you're enjoying heaven for a long time, but relatively short in terms of experience. You come back here again, you get all fired up because of your heavenly happiness, you try to enjoy here, and you go back to hell again. So you go up and down from heaven to hell like a yo-yo. And there's no end to it. This is, everyone is doing that. Everyone since time immemorial has been going up from heaven to hell like a yo-yo. Therefore, one is actually only fortunate if one is able to understand that devotional service is not meant for sense gratification. If one actually wants to gratify one's senses, then one has to do it without desire. Desire will not gratify our senses. It'll actually keep us perpetually unsatisfied. One has to do it without personal desire, but for Krishna. Desire for Krishna is also desire, and there's actually, the senses will be gratified, but they'll actually be gratified. In association with Krishna, the ecstasy will actually bring out our real senses. And our real senses in association with Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, then our real senses, everything, whatever we do, a smell or a taste or whatever, is all pleasurable. The senses are actually gratified. Every smell is ecstatic and loving. Every taste is ecstatic and loving. Everything is full of pleasure. And therefore one is actually satisfied. And if one is not in Krishna consciousness, whatever one does to gratify the senses will simply wind up some happiness and a lot of misery. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
In the Purport it says that one category of yogis is falling after very little progress. The yogi who falls after a short period of practice goes to the higher planets.
Yes.
So how short is short?
Oh. Well, we have to understand that Krishna is giving a summary in 700 verses. He's not going to go into every detail. Because if we read Prabhupada's purport, we can find out there's complications. Therefore, Bhagavatam is there, Chaitanya Charitamrita, other literatures are there. So we can assimilate it and get a better idea than just hearing the general categories. For instance, in a previous purport, Prabhupada said that even if one is low-born in his next lifetime, auspicious Krishna consciousness will continue. So it's not that you chant a few rounds or even you live in the ashram for a few years, you follow, and then you're, you know, the heavenly planets, you know, you're guaranteed you're going to the heavenly planets. And you'll be there with, you know, Urvasi and everyone else will be there to greet you. Welcome. No, it's not like if you do pious activities or if you do spiritual activities for a short, you know, for some years, and then you do sinful activities, you also have to get the reaction for the sinful activities. Like Mujjukunda, oh, King Nariga. He did a fantastic amount of pious activities, inconceivable, but he did one. Inadvertently, he gave a cow in charity to one Brahmin, and the cow wandered back into his herd, and then he gave it away to another Brahmin, and the two Brahmins started to quarrel, and he offered 100,000 cows to each one of them in exchange, and they refused, and they both left in anger, cursing the king, and he became a lizard. He didn't go to the heavenly planets right away. So, I tell that story already about the person who gave the 5 euros. So, it's something like that. So we shouldn't be so sure that, you know, everything's all right. It's, the material nature doesn't work like that. Yes, you may, after some years of chanting Hare Krishna, you may get a chance to go to the heavenly planets, but you may also do your sinful activities. You may have to take birth again in a low-born family. That's if you're serious about continuing Krishna consciousness. Many varieties of possibilities. But these are also, Krishna is trying to encourage Arjuna. Can't say, well, Arjuna, you know, be careful. No, he's giving the general encouragement. Bhagavad Gita is supposed to be encouraging. Not after reading Bhagavad Gita, one becomes depressed. There's no hope for me. It's supposed to be encouraging. Only when you come to Bhagavad Gita class, you become discouraged. Maybe, anyhow. We get more of the details here. Anything else? Ladies first.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. I want to ask you, these yogis who go to the heavenly planet, they continue to practice yoga? Or?
Depends if Iyengar goes there. BKS Iyengar, you know who that is. Do they practice yoga there? Yeah, generally they don't practice yoga. I mean, first of all, what do you mean by yoga? I mean the stretching exercises, or what do you mean by yoga? They don't have to stretch their bodies in the heavenly planets. They're already stretched out enough. They have mystic power. What are they? Their bodies are always healthy, practically speaking. You don't find a sick demigod. Go to heavenly planets, Indra's out. He's in the hospital. He had a hernia operation. No, the demigods, they don't have to practice yoga. And the heavenly planets are sages who do meditation, but that's a higher type of existence. For instance, the Maharaloka, they're doing sacrifices all the time for Vishnu. And on Tapaloka and whatever, they have mystic power and so there are sages who are doing meditation in the heavenly planets. But the more common demigods who are controlling the universe, they're not doing yoga, they're just doing they're enjoying there. Everything is enjoyable because the enjoyment there is hundreds and sometimes he said thousands of times more than this planet. So there's no need for them to do any kind of yoga, what we consider yoga here. But they do chant Hare Krishna on Brahmaloka. How do we know that? Oh, they do have festivals where they chant Hare Krishna. They are devotees. So, mostly they're bhakti yogis. And then there's some who do jnana yogis. There are some who are meditators, like that. But we know from Narada Muni, he was born as Upavarna, and he was a playboy on the heavenly planets, surrounded by the damsels of heaven. And he started to sing, as Prabhupada said, cinema songs, which were songs glorifying the demigods. That was considered cinema songs. And he got cursed to become a shooter. So you get a heavenly planet, it's this great opportunity to enjoy, but you have to be careful there also. You deviate, you don't act like a demigod when you're a demigod. Then you get into a lot of trouble. So there's free will there too. But generally, everything there is so nice that they're just enjoying. They're doing their service, controlling the elements, and enjoying. The prasadam is super good. And there's a feast every day. And when you eat it, you never get sick. You can eat as much as you want, and you never get sick. I mean, for that reason alone, it's worthwhile to go to heaven if you want to go someplace nice. The air is clean. It's enlivening. The water is pure. The food is all organic. Everything's nice, except once in a while someone like Vritrasura comes along, stomps on you, and you're get squashed. Except for that, it's nice. Anything else? Is that all?
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. From the purport, I don't know if I understood correctly, but if they practice a short while, then they are born in Vaishnava heaven.
No, they go to the heavenly planets. Some heavenly planet. We can't think there's only one heavenly planet. There's a whole variety of heavenly planets. I mean, and even if you read the Bhagavatam in the fifth, you know, you go to the heavenly planets, you fall down, you usually fall down to some place other than the earth planet that we're on now. Because if you have a little pious activities to left, you may fall down in Plakshadvi, for instance, and live for 100,000 years in comparatively heavenly, in the heavenly realms there. So it's a whole variety. It's not you just go up there and you come back to downtown Ljubljana. There's endless possibilities, depending how serious and how long one has practiced.
So my question is then, apparently it seems that, at least how it's written, that after a short while they get better position than if they are long-term practitioners, because then they just come to some aristocratic family or some merchant.
Yeah, so no. After long-term practice, you go to the heavenly planets, and you fall down from the heavenly planets, and eventually when you take birth on a planet like Earth, because everyone comes back to Earth, because this is the planet of fruit of activities, so you can go up or down, then they're born, then they get the opportunity to get born into aristocratic family, or a mercantile family, or a Brahmin family. So then they have a better opportunity to go up again, because they don't have to worry about economic development. But generally speaking, most of them go down because they get this opportunity where they have opulence, but then they misuse it. As we can see, most opulent people on this planet who've gone that route, they misuse it. And therefore they go down more than the normal people do. And sometimes they're born in, well, except for Kali Yuga, they're born in fairly Brahminical family. So we see the children of our devotees, who are undoubtedly they were devotees in some time, but even they become proud. They think, well, we're born in family devotees where Maya can't touch us. We can do whatever we want. And many of them get into trouble too. Is that right? Anything else? Material nature is quite complicated, unforgiving. Unless one is serious, then there's every opportunity to get entangled perpetually in this material world somehow or another. And we can't think we're already at home, we're at the finish line already. Yamaraj is never going to see us unless he wants an interview with us. That's our darshan. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.